Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And happy Thanksgiving, everyone, once again. This is a holiday that's full of so many rituals. Carving turkey, eating pumpkin pie, and maybe having to listen to a few cringe-worthy jokes from your favorite strange relative. And for some, the rituals also include listening to this song.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
Well, that, of course, is Arlo Guthrie's classic Alice's Restaurant Massacre. And for 50 years, radio stations across the country have been playing the song as an annual Thanksgiving tradition. Arlo Guthrie is traveling around the country now for the song's 50th anniversary tour, and he joins us from Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Arlo Guthrie, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's really great to talk with you. Let me first ask you, 50 years, half a century, did you ever think you'd still be singing Alice's Restaurant all these years later?
Oh, my. You know, I started writing this in November of 1965. On Thanksgiving, which is why we're celebrating the anniversary at this time. And I finished it somewhere in the following year, 1966. It just took that long for these events to unfold. And it came out the following year, 1967, as a record. And I would have never thought when I was writing it, when I finished it, when it came out as a record, or even the movie that came out in 69, I would have never imagined that the song would be associated with Thanksgiving, or any holiday for that matter. But I'm very happy that it is. I mean, how quirky is that? It's America.
It's definitely America. Well, so many people listening will know the song already and love it. It is an 18 to 20 minute masterpiece, but it basically tells a story of how on Thanksgiving Day, you made a visit to your friend Alice and her husband, and you offered to take out their garbage to the dump, but it's Thanksgiving, so the dump is closed, and you throw the garbage off a cliff instead, and where other locals apparently toss their garbage out in western Massachusetts, and ultimately you get arrested for littering, which then keeps you out of the draft. Is that a fair sort of summary?
It is, and the funny thing is that it's not something I invented. I mean, nobody in their right mind could have imagined that having an arrest record for littering would make you unavailable for military service. I mean, that's crazy. And yet, that's the times we were living in. So if there's a lesson there, it is be careful. People in authority are sometimes out of their freaking minds.
Well, and I read, though, that when the song first came out, I mean, obviously, the nation was in the throes of the Vietnam War. But do I have this right that you said it wasn't your intention to write an anti-war, anti-draft song?
Well, I didn't write it. All I did was tell it. There's no invention there on my part. And so it became a song about events that happened not only to me, but similar events happened to other people. You know, I would say at least half of the records we sold were sold through the PX. It was the military guys, the guys in Vietnam that were listening to it and found it as funny, if not funnier, than the folks at home. And that still makes me smile. I loved that I was able to tell a story that resonated with people on all sides of the political issues. So it wasn't meant to be an anti-war song, although make no mistake, I was an anti-war person. And so it would be very easy for somebody to say, well, therefore it's an anti-war song. I think it has more to do with the people who were listening deciding what to call it rather than me calling it something. For me, it was just anti-stupid because you can't run a war that way, let alone a peace. And I think that's what concerns people these days. The absurd things that happen as a result of going along with people who were insane, isn't any less important now than it was 50 years ago.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to a little bit more of the song, if we could, because this is the part where you're at the local selective service office and you're in what's called the Group W area.
I'm sitting here on a bench. I mean, I'm sitting here on the Group W bench. Because you want to know if I'm moral enough to join an army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being a litter bug.
Arlo Guthrie, I'm really taken by what you said a minute ago, that a lot of the record sales were at the PX. So, I mean, did Vietnam vets ever talk to you about why that song really resonated with them particularly?
Yeah, of course they still do. I think, you know, it was a crazy situation where we were trying to do too many things at once. We were trying to do political things. We were trying to do, war things. We were trying to do peace things. We were trying to – all of these things are not always easily done together. And it wasn't, you know, we had a big anti-war movement at that time, but it wasn't until the guys got back from overseas and joined those demonstrations that, you know, it became politically untenable to continue. That's what changed the situation. It wasn't when a bunch of, you know, left-wing hippies or something decided to change things. It was when everybody decided to change things. And it wasn't ever most people. It wasn't even a whole lot of people. It was a critical mass of people. It was just enough to get things changed. And that's been my point for 50 years. You don't have to try to convince everybody. You don't even have to convince a lot of people. You just have to convince enough people to participate, to say what's on your mind. It doesn't matter whether you're this or that or up or down, left or right. If everybody gets a chance to speak and everybody is respected, good things happen,
right?
And we need to remember that.
I mean, in fact, in the song, don't you sing that if one person just sings it, may not make a difference.
I mean,
if two people do it, if three people do it, eventually it's an organization, it's a movement.
Yeah, and that's all it takes, really, is a lot of people working together. And they don't have to agree. They just have to, you know, get a chance to say what's on their minds. And so I think what rings true today is that there are people who are trying to stop people from speaking, whether they're trying to stop them from voting or finding out about stuff or whatever it is. That's, I think, a mistake for a country like ours, which is very young. And I think the more people that get a chance to say what's on their minds, the better off everybody is. You don't have to agree with everybody all the time. I certainly don't. I've got my own take on these things. And so I think what's funny for me is that I'm known for writing this thing as if I had invented it. But really, I didn't do anything except tell what actually happened to me.
It's such a crowd favorite, though. But I've read that you don't actually perform it that often in concert. Is that right?
Well, somewhere in the early 80s or whenever it had been 20 years that I had been performing it every night. And it got a little tiresome, and the times had changed. The war ended. The vets were home. The draft was gone. It was a different world. And so I just began to take it off the set list because, frankly, it was, you know, to spend the same 20 minutes every night was taken away from other stuff I was working on. And so I decided to do it every decade for a year or two. And so now we are in the midst of a year-and-a-half long tour that will end in May of 2016, and we will have played it for all of those people who we had to give their money back because they didn't hear it the first time they came. I want my money back. He didn't sing Alice's Restaurant. I said, give them the money back. See me next, you know, decade or something like that. And they all came back, and here they are. We're having a great time out there. And if I live long enough to have to relearn it for the 60th anniversary, which is doubtful, I will do it.
Well, speaking of families and traditions, I see that your son, Abe, is part of your anniversary touring band. What are some of the family traditions that you guys have on Thanksgiving?
Well, my son, Abe, has been playing with me ever since he got out of high school. And he's 45 now, so he's been with me a long time. My youngest daughter, Sarah Lee, is opening the shows for the rest of this tour. And on what we typically do is on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we'll get together. We'll have our own sort of private family Thanksgiving. And then on the Thursday, the actual holiday, we'll come down to the old church where it all took place and where you're actually talking to me at this moment. We have a free Thanksgiving dinner for anybody down on their luck or something like that, and we will be there helping to serve those guys. And I love that. That's the spirit of the holiday that we most like doing as a family.
Well, that's the great Arlo Guthrie speaking to us on the 50th anniversary of his song, Alice's Restaurant Massacre. Tonight, PBS will be broadcasting Alice's Restaurant 50th Anniversary Concert with Arlo Guthrie. That'll be on PBS stations across the country. We've got more information on tour dates at hereandnow.org. Arlo Guthrie, let me please say happy Thanksgiving to you, and thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, and have a great Thanksgiving.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. So walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, at Alice's restaurant.
This is Here and Now.